أبي سعيد رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أذكر الله كثيرا حتى يقول مجنون أو كما قال. My respected friends, this in front of you at your service, I have been given the opportunity to recite this hadith, to read this hadith. This hadith is very well known, it's very famous, it's in Fadaili Amal. You will have heard this hadith, you may have read this or listened to this subject. And also the ulema, the respected scholars, you will have heard this hadith from them. It's a famous and well-known hadith. So it's obvious that my objective is not to read this hadith to you or announce this hadith to you, nor was it my objective that I traveled from quite far away and I gave you some difficulty for some time and I troubled you to come to me for some time so that we can sit and discuss the deen and do the dhikr of Allah. So it wasn't just for this reason that I needed to read this or recite this hadith to you. There's no doubt in this point that to listen to something good, there is thawab, there is reward in listening to something good. But apart from reciting or announcing, my objective that was and which is that we won't just listen but we will do something. Because the difference in listening and doing, there's a big difference. That you don't get benefit from just listening. From just listening. Just by listening, you don't get benefit. And we are explained things or told things so that we can do practice on them. If we don't practice on that fact and knowledge, then we are wasting the opportunity. So we listen so that we can learn and do amal on what we hear so that we can get some reward and get some luggage for the hereafter. And if we just listen, then it's Allah's karam that He's allowed us to listen. But if we don't give tawajjuh and we don't focus on it afterwards, then we will not achieve the objective. So then we have spoiled the objective, then Allah Ta'ala will ask us or take us to account. So any amal, any action, can we do it without the tawfiq of Allah? That if you have come, I have come, we have arrived here, and Durood Sharif, I recited in front of you 3 times. Such a great action to recite Durood Sharif once is not a minor action. Such a great opportunity Allah Ta'ala has brought us here to His home, seated us down, and I've got company of you pious people. This is all the tawfiq of Allah. The blessing of Allah that Allah Ta'ala has given. If Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq was not with me or us, tell me, that is this it? The number of brothers who are sitting here? Are there no more brothers in Bradford? Why did Allah Ta'ala not send them? And mashallah, there are many other people. And mashallah, this is a great gathering with the fadl of Allah's karam and mercy. This is a big gathering. But what is this? Is it for this reason? We should always be aware and conscious of the fact that we consider everything as a minor. As a minor, we think it, take it for granted. We think it's so easy that, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make a difference. No. First, we should be grateful to Allah, your karam, your mercy, that you have made me do this action. Otherwise, how could I do this action without your karam and mercy? You are the one who showed me the way to the masjid. You are the one who seated somebody next to me and told me something and explained something to me. So when a person has awareness and consciousness and appreciation and he hears something, then it becomes azim ibadah for that person. And then he has a high maqam in front of Allah. He's thinking that Allah Ta'ala says that this person is great. He recognizes his Lord, that Rabb Allah, there's nothing else, it's you who's given me the opportunity. You are the one who's given me the power to walk and talk and sit and eat and drink and speak. Allah Ta'ala has given to everyone. And Allah, if you could have given to me an opportunity, I could have done something bad with all of these assets and resources. But Allah, it's your karam and your mercy that you turned my thinking towards the good for some time, and you made me do a good action. So Allah, I'm very grateful to you. I'm extremely grateful to you. So brothers, it's not just listening. We cannot succeed by just listening. It's Allah Ta'ala's karam that He's allowed us to hear. Allah Ta'ala says, I've done such a big favor and karam and ihsan to you. But what have you done since then? So Allah, we should make it a promise that when Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, we sit in ta'aleem, we hear something good, we hear an alim, some good words, then never should we think that I've come myself. No, straightway, it's Allah Ta'ala who has sent me. It's Allah's karam. I will have to account for this, this alim, this good person who's come, all of this, that Allah Ta'ala has given him a duty. Allah Ta'ala has given him a duty to make me hear what he had to say. And this is what we should think. That Allah Ta'ala says that it's my choice that this gathering, the alim sahab who's sitting here, or the person who's sitting on the minbar, or the person who's given a speech, he's not come for anybody else. That Allah Ta'ala has done this for me. Allah has done this for me. But how a person then will be humble and he will bow down. That I was so dirty and impure. If I didn't sit here, an alim sahab, if Allah Ta'ala hadn't instilled into his mind or heart these points, I could have gone towards Jahannam, towards hellfire. If I didn't hear this good point that this is the punishment of this sin, then I could have gone towards doom. So Allah, karam, mercy, blessings, all of this gathering you've arranged, you've called people, and this is a mercy for me alone that you put into my mind and thoughts that I should come here, and you put into the mind of the speaker that say these words. You gave him a duty to speak to me, so you saved me. Allah is your karam, alhamdulillah, you have delivered these words to me. Now Allah, give me the tawfiq and the strength that I can also act on these words. Subhanallah. So brothers, do we all make this intention? Do we make this niyyah? You say it loudly, inshallah. Allah is listening. Allah will ask that, why didn't you speak at that time? That's why I'm making you repeat. That you think I'm going to get some reward or numbers for this? No. So we are, Allah Ta'ala, the angels will testify that, Allah, that he made a straight intention, Allah. He came to this majlis, Allah, give him the thawab of this gathering. And whatever he hears and learns, please let him do the practice on this. Give him the tawfiq. And another point, Allah has given us an opportunity. Maybe you're a muhaddith or a pious elder, you're an alim or you're a sheikh. But when Allah Ta'ala seats a person in a gathering, then he should totally consider himself as useless. He should consider he's the worst, he's the most jahil and ignorant and sinful. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says the person who's come to explain to you, as long as you don't consider yourself lower than him in ilm and hadith and knowledge, then you will never accept that person and the ilm will not enter into yourself or your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? So at this moment, Allah Ta'ala says that we should say, Allah, my ilm is nothing, my knowledge is nothing, my hadith is nothing, I need to be rectified, I need to do my salah, I was weak in various factors. You sent this person to me, in front of me, I'm sat here as a student, I've forgotten everything, I've lowered myself, humbled myself, and his words, please Allah, allow his words to pierce my heart, so that I can do amal on what I hear today. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whenever Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq to attend a gathering, don't think I'm a buzurg, I'm pious, I am better, I'm a scholar. Who's this person who's come here and he's speaking to us? Why do I need to listen to this? No, we should never think like this. Totally, we shouldn't think like this. That Allah, this individual you've sent here, there's definitely a reason here. And we should think carefully here. That for example, if I don't lower myself, I don't humble myself, and I don't pay attention, why isn't he come? We call this person, why is this a small gathering? No, he should think that it's me, that Allah Ta'ala sent me to this gathering for my benefit, for my improvement. And the person who doesn't think like this, he has got takabbur, he is mutakabbir, he's full of kibr. That for example, oh no, it's not for me, this gathering is for this person, he's a sinner. When Allah Ta'ala gives a message in a gathering, and it's specifically for the individual who's listening, and he knows when he's listening that it's for him, and this defect is in him, and a few people know him, and then people look towards him. For example, somebody doesn't have a beard. Yeah, somebody doesn't have a beard. Everybody, mashallah, in Bradford, people implement the sunnah. Now if Allah Ta'ala instills into my mind such words, such a point, Allah Ta'ala instills the thought, isn't it? It's not me who can speak. Maybe I have to speak and somebody who's got a beard, or he doesn't got a beard correctly, hasn't kept it properly, and then maybe it's for his Islam. Because what's the minimum length of the beard? One fist length. This is the Sharia requirement for the beard. This is called a beard. Any beard that's less than that is not a beard. In Allah's kitab, it's not defined as a beard. This is the decision. Yes? All of the imams, the mujtahideen, muttafiq, agreed decision that the length of the beard for Islamic fulfillment is minimum one fist length. You can do it longer than that. If it's shorter than that, or if you trim it, or you cut it, or you trim it, then that is not called a beard. Then that person will get the same punishment. They'll have the same title and consequence as that person who doesn't even keep a beard, doesn't grow a beard. Remember this solid point. So don't be happy, oh, I've kept a beard. No, this is not a beard. If it's not minimum one fist length, it's got to be one fist length. From where? All four, and from all sides. All sides. Now if by chance naturally your beard doesn't grow, you can't pull it out, can you? If you've only got three hairs, alhamdulillah, in the kitab of Allah, you've got the full beard. total beard. But the person who's got a beard, then beware, you shouldn't trim your beard less than one fist length, all directions, all parts of the face. So for example, just give an example. If I speak like this and brothers start looking at the person who maybe doesn't fulfill this requirement, how ajib. In other words, you think that you are better and you're not doing your own Islam rectification, you're doing Islam of somebody else. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like such an action. Don't look towards others, look at yourself inwardly. So my brothers, these are a few points. This is important, the requirement when you sit in a gathering. So alhamdulillah, we've heard this hadith in the beginning, the subject matter is in front of us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to hear this hadith. He has seated us down. So now we see, as I said to you, that I haven't come here to just speak. You are listening, but I haven't come here to speak. On top of this, I want to encourage so that we all do amal on this. We practice on what we hear today. Both things will run in parallel. So we get total benefit from the majlis that we have heard and we have done. We have heard and we have practiced. And then we'll get the reward. But if we haven't done anything, rather on top of this, the point that is being made in this hadith, we need to bring this into our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to bring this into our lives practically. Not just what I've heard and I've done amal today now, and then afterwards we leave it discarded. No, we'll have hisab for this. We'll be asked for this. If this message is coming, for example, the order of salah is coming. So now, fair enough, we've prayed salah, and I said, and you heard, and it's maghrib time, we all pray. So does this mean that after maghrib, the message of salah is gone? No. Rather, we have to stand up from this gathering that, inshallah, from today, I have understood the message of salah. It has to be prayed regularly, ongoing. I know what is the benefit, what is the punishment of not praying. So for the rest of my life, I will also pray. This is the intention I do have. And that's my coming and listening has then been completed, objective complete. So now let's go towards the hadith. So we have to do three things. We need to hear the hadith. After hearing it today, we will practice it now, implement. And after today, whatever the hadith said, if it said that you have to do this for 3 days, you have to do it 3 days. If it says do it for 4 days, we'll do it for 4 days. If it says do it for the rest of your life, we'll do it for the rest of your life. So we'll all do it? Yes. Agreed? Promise? Okay. Don't be afraid. Don't wilt. Don't hesitate. Allah Ta'ala, when He makes us do something, it's very easy. It's nothing to be afraid about. So, in this hadith, there's a very great hadith, a great sahabi, Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And he presented and communicated a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in a unique way, this hadith was communicated. The Mufassireen, the commentators, have written that in this hadith, Rasulullah has stated that my fellow colleagues, wadhkurullaha kathira, subhanallah. For the whole ummah, Rasulullah has delivered this message. For the people of iman, belief. What has Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us? That do dhikr, wadhkurullaha, but not just dhikr, do dhikr in such a way, kathira, high quantity, abundance. Who is message delivered? Who is saying this? Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is telling him to say this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was he? He was the tafsir of the Quran. His life was the tafsir of the Quran. So these words that Rasulullah has mentioned to us, wadhkurullaha kathira, this in reality is the translation, commentary, and meaning of the Quran that's been told to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has instilled in the Quran in many places, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, wadhkurullah kathira, wadhkurullah kathira, wadhkurullah kathira. The whole Quran is full with this instruction and order. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done tafsir of these verses in his life. Wadhkurullah, adhkurullah, do dhikr. Remember Allah, this is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Muslims, for the believers. And how much dhikr should we do? How much should we remember Allah? Kathir. Allahu Akbar. What should we do? Kathir dhikr. High abundance. High quantity. This is something we need to listen to and hear. The Allah Ta'ala's dhikr we need to do. Now when we do dhikr, what does it mean? No, that we leave everything. This is not the objective when we do dhikr, that we leave everything else and all. That all the hakams are coming from Allah. All the orders are coming from Allah. Not that, okay, Allah Ta'ala has told us to do dhikr, let's leave other action. Let's leave salah, tabligh, nafal salah, ta'aleem, or Quran, or hadith, or etc. No, this is not the meaning of Allah's instruction. In different places of different times of life, different times of the day, we have different pastimes, different actions. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned 5 times salah in the day. It fits in our life. How? Because in that 5 times, we're doing tabligh. After the salah, we're also learning ilm. We're giving ta'aleem, education, and fiqh, and jurisprudence, and hadith. So your salah, 5 times a day, it's not disturbing the other activities you're doing. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala says, do dhikr. So when we do dhikr, it doesn't mean that our other parts of the deen or actions of the deen need to be disturbed. No, totally not. Everything's done in parallel. If somebody says this, he's not understood the Quran, he's not understood the Hadith. Can it be like this? How can it be that Allah Ta'ala gives instructions and that they clash or tangle or stop or cease another action? No. So these doubts should eradicate. We should eradicate them from our minds. Dhikr of Allah will not stop us doing the other actions or work of the deen that we're doing. Allah says, do dhikran kathira. We think dhikr is tasbih 1,000 times. Is it 2,000 times? Is there a new definition? So now we go into the tafsir. The mufti is not telling us. The alim is not telling us. Rasulullah himself has done tafsir of this verse of the Quran in this hadith. Very easily. That there won't be an argument tomorrow. That I am the one who does dhikr kathira. I do 1,000 times. I did it more than the other person. I recited the rushi more than him. And I did this many tasbihat. No. Nabi Salasam said, no, tafsir of this hadith is something else. Kathira is something else. There's a basis, a gauge to understand if you're doing dhikr and kathir. What is that gauge? That do dhikr in this much quantity. You should do so much dhikr to this extent. Hatta yaqulu majnoon, subhanallah. That Allah Ta'ala says, do dhikr in such an abundance, such a quantity that people consider you mad. They think you're crazy that you're doing too much dhikr. Subhanallah. This is kathir dhikr. So that people consider you majnoon, in love with, totally in love with and mad about doing dhikr. That is how you should do dhikr, in high quantity, in abundance, in consistently. So we realize two things here, that it is so essential to do dhikr for us, so essential for our iman to do dhikr, that we cannot imagine how critical it is. We cannot imagine. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala would not emphasize so much. You can imagine how important it is that Allah Ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعْلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That dhikr and dhikr kathir, once you do this action, then you will get falah. There's no falah without this. Allah's Nabi says, I'm saying, what is kathir? That as long, do so much dhikr, that people consider that, oh, he's doing so much dhikr, he's going so much into depth, and they consider you as majnoon, for totally in love and totally overwhelmed by dhikr. So what we learn here is the Mufassireen have said that this hadith and this verse of the Quran, they emphasize very strongly that how important it is for a person who is iman to do dhikr regularly, and what is hidden within this, the hikmah, the benefit, we cannot understand. And by not doing dhikr, we are falling into a massive loss. Massive loss. Those people who don't do the dhikr of Allah, they are incurring a massive loss. We cannot imagine the loss. And in the akhirah, we will realize when the day of judgment comes, that what zulm have I done? That I didn't do dhikr. What a mistake I've made. I didn't do dhikr regularly. But it's too late then. It's too late. So today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this message. Somebody is 70 years old here, somebody is 80 years old here, somebody is 90 years old here, somebody young, a child. Everyone Allah ta'ala is giving the same message. That tomorrow we shouldn't say that we didn't know Allah. Allah ta'ala said, didn't you know the Quran? Didn't you read the Quran? Didn't you know what the Quran said? You used to hear the hadith and you didn't know? They used to learn ilm and you didn't know? About dhikr? You didn't see anywhere in the Quran in the verses, my hukum, my order, that you should do dhikr? You were that ignorant about dhikr? You were that jahil, Allah Ta'ala will say? That Allah Ta'ala's words, you didn't understand. Allah Ta'ala said, I'm telling you so strongly in the Quran. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my Habib is telling you, and you are saying you didn't know. Allah Ta'ala said, I said men, I said anbiya, I said prophets, and this is my sunnati alahi, that even in 80 years, one piece of knowledge reaches to you, and in 80 years you didn't do amal on that, then Allah says, my rahmah, my mercy, how will it come to you? If you had done niyah at that time, after the 80th year, you would have got the thawab of your whole life. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah, so Rahim. If today we are understanding what is the dhikr of Allah, and we waste this opportunity, if we don't get to kathir dhikr and we pass away in this way, then the graveyard is full of those who are ignorant and they wasted the time. What will happen to me? What will happen to us? Will we not answer? Will I not answer for this wasted opportunity? No. The walis of Allah do dhikr. No. The awli Allah do dhikr. Oh, servants of Allah. Every mu'min. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Allah says, every iman, person of iman, doesn't matter what's his status, pastime, career, whatever level he's on, whatever maqam he's on, whatever status is, every man and woman, everyone is lazim to do dhikr. There's no differentiation that you can do dhikr, I don't need to do dhikr, I'm beyond this, it's not necessary for me. Allah has given an open hukam. And whatever field you're, wherever you are, whatever work of the deen you're carrying out, whatever amal you are doing, whatever, there's so much to say. If I was to tell you in detail. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned everything in detail. There's no place. There's no place where a person stood. For example, he's got people against him. He's teaching ilm, learning ilm, teaching ilm, reading Quran, wherever. Everywhere the hukam is lazim. It is compulsory to do the dhikr of Allah. Compulsory. Tell me how important it is. And what is it? That a person should do so much dhikr that people consider him as mad. Now this is an ajeeb word that they consider him mad. Not mentally crazy or foolish like we say. This is a very common word today in the world. And I say this with forgiveness. Are we all mad if we do dhikr? Are we crazy? We call ourselves people of wisdom and intellect. This word that's come in the hadith. We are this. We are already this. We are already this. But it's sad to say that we are so foolish and stupid. That the amount we are stupid and foolish, the people say that he's got intellect and wisdom, subhanAllah. In other words, it's the flip side today. Imagine. This is our status today. Everyone, we're foolish. What we are foolish about? Dunya. We are crazy and mad. Rasulullah said, "So do so much dhikr. Have so much love for the dhikr of Allah that people call you mad and crazy." No, but we have so much love and so much love for the dunya today. We'll work for 7 hours. Even then we're not full. Even if we work 8 hours, we haven't had enough. 10 hours work, we still are not had enough. Sleeping, eating, standing, walking. Even that we stood here, my whole life I've seen people, their whole life passes. They have a sandwich in the day. They don't even have the tawfiq. That let me sit down with the kids and eat. No, I've got to go to the shop. No, I've got to drive the taxi. No, I've got to do this now. I've got to do this work now. Okay, fair enough. Have you got no time? He's living his children and kids and his house, his life, and he's living ease and comfort. He's driving a taxi. He doesn't know that how much time he's wasting. That I've driven the taxi in the night, then I'll rest. Then he drives in the day. The taxi shouldn't stop. He'll have the day shift. Then the night will come. He'll drive in the night. In this way, is this insane or is this a mad person? Isn't he mad? Isn't that person not crazy? So what do we say? No, he's akalmand, he's brainy, he's earned so much money, look at the houses he's built, he's developed, oh, he's our son, he's my good son. If you want to know what a good son is, look at my son here, mashallah, he's made so much money and they're crazy about making money. So don't we say that crazy is that person who doesn't make money and good is that person who's got the wealth. But Allah Ta'ala says that the most important person is this person. But Allah says the worst is that person who loves the dunya. And Allah says, ulil albab. What is Allah? الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم سبحان الله say سبحان الله. Allah Ta'ala's standard. Look at Allah's standard. Allah says that I say the person of wisdom and intellect are those people who do dhikr, standing, walking, sitting, lying down. These are the intellectual people. What do we say? Oh, he's brainy, this person. He's got intellect and wisdom. He knows how to make money. He knows how to make assets. We are so lost today. The 80, 90 years old age and we leave home to go to the masjid to pray salah. I'll give you an example. A real example here. And in our hands is a stick. Okay, we're walking with hardship, difficulty, and somebody's maybe assisting us while we're walking. My putar, look on the way. Is there any new house on sale on the way? Or is it that we can do, we can bid? Let's tell Arshad, yaar, buy this house. Maybe he'll assist him again. But brother, go straight. There's no house. No, have a look around, yaar. Have a look. Is there any house on sale that we can tell Arshad to buy it on the way? He's 80 years old, hobbling 90 years to the masjid. And he's still looking for the sale boards, the billboards. I can buy this. Is there a shop selling? I can buy it. What a stupid way of life. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Stupid. Just signs are left. They just want to sign on the dotted line. The file has come for them to pass away. And they have to sign on the dotted line. But they're looking on the way. Is there any house for sale? Flat for sale? We'll get two. Then we'll afford the children. They'll be well off. Let's get three now. So the grandchildren, they'll be well off. They're looking after the grandchildren. And what is this? Allah Ta'ala says, there's no more foolish person than this. This is that person who's doing this. That even if his own life, if he was to continue to earn. And even then he will evaporate from this world. And they have evaporated. The graveyards are full. A person who has died in this way has never left the home with the homes with him. So is he not foolish? Allah Ta'ala says, the people I'm defining as with intellect, say subhanAllah. Say it again once again. And say it again, subhanAllah. Three trees have grown for you in Jannah. Aha, the richest of people. Once you say subhanAllah, once. Put it in the scale. And all lifelong, the world and the universe, the kingdoms, the leadership positions, mal, wealth, gold, king of the world. Put it in the other scale. I swear by Allah, that's hollow air, vacuum. And the subhanAllah will be heavier. SubhanAllah. Tell me. Tell me, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O my companions, SubhanAllah, he looked around, he gave ta'aleem to his companions, education, the students were sitting with him. And somebody had no clothes to wear, somebody had not eaten for 3 days, another companion had a dhoti on torn, and they had nothing to the name. These were the sahab who, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, we define them as, we say, they're mad, if only they earned some money and some wealth. What were they doing all their lives long? Astaghfirullah, Allah is swearing by their respect, Allah is praising them. Allah is raising their status. Allah Ta'ala is praising their faces and their ibadah and their sujood and their prostration. The Quran said clearly, look at the Sahaba, how great they were. And when they would discuss Islam, think about Islam, their hearts would cry. They would stand all night long. And all night long they would stand and worship against Allah. And so they said, Allah, we've made mistakes today. Please forgive us. We are sinful. SubhanAllah, what great human beings they were. Great human beings. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu looked towards the Hud mountain and said, oh my companions, does anyone want to do deeds equivalent to the height and the power of Hud? They jumped. They weren't minor companions. No Sahabi was minor or small in status or category. No, no, no. Why? Because show me anyone greater than any one Sahabi until the day of judgment. Ghawth, Qudab, anyone who has come after the companions, they are not capable of the same. No one, no Tabi can even reach to the dust on the hoof of the slippers, on the hoof, on the heel of the shoes of the Sahaba. So when they heard the Uhud mountain, Rasulullah said, do you want deeds and woods the equivalent to Uhud Sharif? Rasulullah, what should we do? What should we recite? What should we do? Rasulullah said, my Sahaba, the deen is very easy, and deliver this to the ummah. Say SubhanAllah once, that's enough. How much thawab? How much reward? So let's make this habit that whenever we do something good, we leave the home, come to the masjid, or you're feeling cold or hot, you go home, there's no food. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Allah is not tired of giving thawab, my brothers. So many trees will be grown. We call these trees. Allah says, the examples I've given of Jannah, my friends, don't think that this is a oak tree, pine tree, apple tree. The tree Allah Ta'ala is talking about is the tree of paradise. Imagine its fruits, its shade, its protection, its benefit. What will it do in Jannah? The biggest point here is that person who said SubhanAllah, guaranteed he will go into Jannah, guaranteed. Due to one action, now tell me, are crazy those people who run after the dunya, or crazy are we who do dhikr in abundance? Tell me now, SubhanAllah. Once you say SubhanAllah, gives you the guarantee of paradise. If your tree, why? If Allah Ta'ala is going to plant your tree in Jannah, then will He not give it to you? Of course, you'll have to go into paradise to get your tree. So if the tree is being grown, then obviously you're going to go to paradise. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah's Nabi SAW said this once, but if you do dhikr kathiran, tell me, high quantity, abundance, a person when he rises on the day of judgment, who did dhikr and kathira, what will be his status? A small sketch was given by Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A small sketch, a small scene. There will be the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, and there will be palaces with rubies and emeralds and pearls, the glow and the sparkle of the jewels, and there will be thrones of gold, silver. Talking about the hereafter, the ulama ikram tell us about this. There's no greater test than the day of resurrection. This day will come, the state will be set, and everybody will be living their lives in this world, and they'll be rubbing their eyes. Now, which qawm is this? Are they prophets? Are they special people? They are sitting on these thrones decorated with rubies and emeralds and pearls, and their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. Sahih hadith, I'm telling you, Sahih hadith. And their faces will be sparkling, glowing, shining. People in the world will be upset. Who are these people? With these people on this maqam, such a great status, Allah, are they anbiya? The Prophet Allah says, these are those people, I told them in the world, do dhikr and kathira, and become mad and crazy about doing dhikr. And they understood these words, they understood, and they allowed those words to penetrate their heart, and they did indeed dhikr and kathira in their lives. Today I'm giving them this maqam, Allah says, that on this maqam, this throne, I seat them on the great pedestal. So brothers, will we do the dhikr kathira? Yes. So do you know how to do dhikr and kathira then? You don't know? That's why I've come to teach today. That's what I've come to announce. I will teach this today. Alhamdulillah, all of you, all who are sat in this gathering, will be those who will be capable of doing dhikr and kathira. SubhanAllah. So what is the miracle? Start from today, inshallah. May not be that Allah Ta'ala allows that you die tomorrow. Maybe we'll die. And I see this morning and evening people dying. That one gathering that was recent. In every gathering recently, many gatherings recently, where we speak
we see someone do tawbah and then the next day he passes away, or 3 days where he dies, or 4 days afterwards he dies. My brother, this is life. How do I know that will I see you tomorrow? I may pass away, you may pass away. So let's consider this moment very valuable. So you've heard today what I've said. After hearing, you accept. After accepting, you will do it today. And you will say that all my life long, for the rest of my life, I want to do dhikr kathira. I will teach you that dhikr, inshallah. I will leave. Before leaving today, I will teach you that dhikr, and you have to promise that you will bring that dhikr into your lives, inshallah. If you make this promise, then your name will be written in the list of the people who are doing dhikr and kathira. Just need to listen to the tariqah, the methodology. How do you do dhikr and kathira? That people will start to call you mad and crazy and in love with dhikr. In love, consumed with dhikr. Overwhelmed by dhikr. Why? Because this is my career. This is my pastor. Whoever is given a duty, he fulfills the duty. The person who runs the sweet shop, mitai shop, will give you mitai sweets. The person in the butchers will give you meat. Isn't it? If you go to the paan shop, he'll give you paan. Here, come, he'll wrap it up, give it to you. The pan. If you go to, for example, a person who makes halwa, he'll give you nice sweet meal and halwa. So if you go to the awliya Allah, they will teach you dhikran kathira, how to do dhikr kathira. That's the duty that Allah Ta'ala gives to a wali of Allah. They do the work themselves and they teach. And somebody also instructed me, my hazrat, my sheikh, taught to me, instructed me, and his sheikh taught him. And this silsila continues back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Authentic chain. Yes, so I've come to your masjid with this duty. I don't know anyone from amongst you. But today we have known each other so much that on the day of Qiyamah we'll be together, inshallah. The next meeting will not end. Why? Because that meeting is linked not with a walima, not with a wedding, not with a janab Eid Milan party, not with an anniversary. No, this majma, this gathering is linked with what? Allah. Subhanallah. You have come to me, I have come to you. You have seen me, I have seen you. You have sacrificed your time for me, I have sacrificed my time for you. Allah Ta'ala says, both individuals, the man who came and the other person who accepted the invitation, both I've selected. They are my mahbub followers. So what a person becomes, you cannot imagine. Have you got yaqeen in what I'm saying? You got yaqeen, certainty? Are these words penetrating your heart? These are all hadith that I'm sharing. So this hadith you would have heard before. It will come again tomorrow and the day after. But where will it come? In the way that it's come today, it won't come in this way. You will not get this gathering. You will realize on the day of judgment what this gathering is. Subhanallah. So my brothers, kathir dhikr we need to do. This is the hukam, the instruction Allah has given to us. Wadhkurullaha kathir, la'allakum tuflihun. And when a person does kathir dhikr, subhanallah, then it's not that he's become mad. The meaning doing dhikr in a gathering is not he's mad or crazy. Rather, he's in love. He learns the method and the adab and manners. How much link do I have with the dunya? And how much link do I have with the akhirah? That's it. That's what we've got to know. So we're not running after fuzul dunya, waste of time dunya. We keep the dunya linked to us, the amount that we need. We utilize work and we do things in the dunya, the amount that we need in dunya. Salah, deen, we do more. So dhikr and kathira, what is the benefit of dhikr and kathira? Shall I tell you the benefit of dhikr and kathira? That what is the benefit that we'll get that Allah Ta'ala is instructing us to do dhikr and kathira? There must be some benefit. So the benefit, the status of dhikr tells us that it's very, very high benefit of dhikr. The Allah Ta'ala says, do dhikr and do it dhikr and kathira. Otherwise you will regret, and you will regret in a very severe way. You'll get into deficit if you don't do dhikr. So what's the benefit of dhikr? I'll tell you one point and you'll understand everything after that. Subhanallah. That without dhikr, salah is not accepted. Without dhikr, fast is not accepted. Without dhikr, the hajj won't be accepted. Without dhikr, the ilm won't be accepted, knowledge. Without dhikr, qiraat, recitation won't be accepted. Without dhikr, ta'lim, education won't be accepted. Without dhikr, the sheikh, the piety won't be accepted. Tahajjud won't be accepted. Without dhikr, no ibadah worship is accepted. None. Tell me now. Tell me. And people will be stood on the day of judgment, lined up in a queue in front of Allah. And their deeds won't be accepted. Their deeds will be lined up. I won't say, I'm not saying this. The hadith are lined up, stacked up. Wadhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. Allah has told us, so my brothers, salah, fasting, hajj, ibadah, sujood, prostration, all of these ibadah, worship actions Allah has given to us, they will go with us to the hereafter. And they will come and we will seek acceptance in the hadith. Many examples, shuhada, ulama, scholars, and abid and worshippers, and many great people come to Allah. And what will happen? They will be going the wrong way towards hellfire. Remember this point. This destination is about to come. This day is about to come. Resurrection Day, we look towards notes and money and currency. That, has this note changed? Is it a new note? Is it the same one from 10 years ago? £5 note, we look at it, we scan it. Is it fake or is it genuine? Is there a difference? But when we pray Salah, Allah will accept. If I don't pray, it's okay. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Doesn't make any difference. Imagine. Imagine. Is this not the case? Isn't this how we act in the dunya? Oh, it's okay, I fast or when I need to. Hajj, I've done Hajj, that's it, I don't need to. You know, I fast when I need to. This is how insignificant we consider the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers. Have we never thought that I'm prostrating? Where's my sujood going, my uloom? Oh, we said that, I don't even know about wudu. I don't even know how to do wudu. And salah, is there any ibadah greater than salah? No. No, just consider that Allah ta'ala has made us born. I tell you the reality. I'm telling you the words from my heart. That everything I've seen in the world, I've seen so much impiety, people, dunya, Quran, I've understood one thing, my friends, remember this point. One point. That Allah ta'ala has given to us life in this world. He has created us for one reason, that this human being needs to pray salah. That's it. Remember this point. The whole world, Allah's ni'mas, gifts, fadl, blessings, barakat, jannah, paradise, hoors, maidens, Allah's sight, visibility, saving us from the hellfire, everything, rizq, wealth, everything, all the status, abdal, kutub, ghawth, levels of wulayat, nothing can we get, attain, and unless we have one asset in our life. What is that, my friend? Say loudly, salah. Salah. 100,000 times you can do dhikr. 100,000 times you can recite Quran. You can have a big sign of prostration on your forehead, mihrab of prostration, nawafil salah. You can keep fast and your back is bent, crooked. And you could have gone on Hajj thousands. You could do Medina, Manawara visits and Hajj and Umrah. You'll be asked about one thing at every point. What is your salah like? Salah. And the best human being is he or she who is the best person, whose salah is the best. Whose salah is the best. Remember this point. Don't fall into a trap. Don't look at piety. If you want to see if someone's pious, if you want to recognize a pious person, if you want to recognize as a person fearful of Allah, you want to recognize an alim, a scholar, muhaddith, and you've heard praise about someone, that there's no way that that person can be defined as good, first look at the status of his salah. Say subhanallah. That's it. That's it. When does this come to a person's life? How much before does he come to salah? Does he come to takbir? Ula, I swear by Allah. All life people have protected one thing. I swear by Allah, and I say this. The walis of Allah, they haven't become walis of Allah just by doing nothing. That they don't become a wali of Allah by tasbih and dhikr. Dhikr teaches us one thing. I'll explain this point to you with regards to this point. That dhikr, does a person become a wali Allah through dhikr? Does a person become a wali Allah by announcements and shouting? By tilawat? Never. I swear by Allah that our aqabireen, our pious predecessors I speak about, and I can tell you, I swear by Allah, that all lifelong they protected one thing, that may our takbir awla not go to waste. We don't want to miss takbir awla. All lifelong we see their record. And may this not occur. I give you the example of such walis of Allah. They never miss the initial takbir at the beginning of salah. And if by some reason they miss takbir awla, if they miss the takbir at the beginning of salah, then it's like somebody's died at home. Like it's a grave. That look at the salah, our situation. If we are saved, we're not saved, my friends, I tell you the truth. Today the ummah, the destruction and the loss and the pain, severity, and it will happen as well more. Allah Ta'ala says, no sin, I forgive everything. And such ibadah. But one action Allah Ta'ala is displeased with, Allah says, I call my servant, come to me and prostrate to me, and he does not reply to my call. Then I will tell you another point. The latest point, and this is, you can say, inscribed on my heart, that figures, they have come to me, the figures, and India is such a big country. Look at the data, so many Darul Ulooms, so many places of Tabligh, 150 years work of Tabligh is happening, such big madaris. I'm saying this for this reason, that ilm, knowledge, and there's so many places in the world, but there's no example that can equate. Such a great example of India, so many Muslims. If this is the hal of the Muslims in India, then what about the rest of the world and Ummah? How are we saved? We haven't even seen adhab yet, Allah Ta'ala sent. that no country, no human being is doing dhulm on us. Nobody's oppressing us. We are oppressing our own lives. Why? Why do we blame other people? He's hit me. He has spoiled me. He's done this. Who does this? Say it loudly. That who is running this universe? Allah. Can a leaf move without Allah's will? Can a stone move without Allah Ta'ala's permission? No. So how can anyone kill somebody else or spoil somebody or disfigure or do dhulm or oppress and a person with iman? How can it be so? Do your own fikr. Worry about yourself. The flood spreads. When Allah Ta'ala's adab increases, it increases. It doesn't stop. It doesn't cease. Allah Ta'ala says, it continues. Look at the Quran. Look at one verse. Seven nations we could see. Thamud, Ad, and other nations. Every Nabi, Allah Ta'ala mentions the Ummahs and Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, what happened in all of those ages and generations. In one page, Allah mentions all of them. What delusion are we in? That we think we're not going to get punished. Such a big country. And it's stated there only how many Muslims are there that pray there? You will be dumbfounded and shocked. I read all of this. That only 5%. That 5%. Yes, that there's I think there's about 300 million maybe Muslims or around that, and only 5% of that read Salah. Pray Salah. If this is the hal of that country, what about Pakistan, Bangladesh, and other countries in the world? Tell me then the situation. And here, what's the hal? Our hal here. Let's look in our own homes. That we go on tabligh and we don't even look back. Is anyone praying or not praying? Will we be saved? The whole, everything is in what, my friends? In salah. If anyone wants to see my dhikr is correct, my nisbat with my shaykh is correct, my link with my shaykh, don't look at anything. Look at what? Salah. Namaz. Don't look at others. Look at your own self. I was something maybe normal before. Then I was bayah. Then I did dhikr. Then I did dhikr kathira. Then don't look at my status of what was before. I didn't pray. Your status should be now. That 10 minutes before you should reach to the masjid. And after you get to the masjid, you stand. You should pray nafal salah. After nafal salah, you should do maraqabah. After maraqabah, then you should pray the fard salah. Yes? That 40 days, if you do this, I swear by Allah, your heart, if it's not full of nur, then come tell me and complain to me. If kashf doesn't come into your life, then tell me. If your qalb is not alive and beating to the name of Allah, then explain to me. That without salah, the examples of Rasulullah told us, that you are the person who? That you are the person who's got no head on the body, who doesn't pray. That we should shriek and scream in our homes, O women and men, O children, for the sake of Allah, be saved from the adab. Allah Ta'ala's adab will come to us if we don't pray salah. Allah will not leave us. Look at the situation. Every sin, Allah Ta'ala said, I can forgive and wipe away. But salah, when it's not prayed, is it a minor action? Everything Allah has given to us on the earth. But salah is such a muqaddas action. Allah Ta'ala called His Nabi to the heavens and gave this as a gift in the heavens. Imagine from this action. The Allah Ta'ala called His Nabi Himself and stood Him in front of Himself. Allahu Akbar. And Allah Ta'ala gave at that time, Rasulullah has a Musa alayhi salam, they had a discussion and he was a witness in their dialogue. That what a great action. The three has a Musa alayhi salam, Allah, and this is a beautiful gift being given to them. So tell me how important must be this deed. Tell me. And we joke with the deen, we joke with the salah, we don't pray salah. I'll pray when it's time. Or is it a young child? He doesn't have to pray. Hukam is, as soon as he's 7 years old, stand him up. 10 years old, then you have to hit him if he doesn't pray salah. That don't have sukoon and satisfaction unless the child is praying salah. We are scared. We are angry on many other things in the day. But why are we not angry when the child does not pray salah? Oh, do dua for my child. He'll be fine. He'll be good. My friends, the life is destroyed. The house is destroyed. Lanat comes on that person morning and evening if he doesn't pray. Then we say, jadu. Oh, there's a jinn. Allah says, forget these stupid excuses. And then Allah says, you go to amils and magicians and exorcists. And they make our children off track. And then the magician comes to our homes, they play with our respect. All these magicians and exorcists and jinn masters, they play with our respect. They do jadu and they make our iman so strong that we don't pray salah. Oh, he's going to solve my problems. They don't look that is they're doing from a Hindu or a Sikh or somebody else, that he's a jinn master, and they come to the homes as exorcists. I swear by Allah, we bring them to the house to take out, they bring them to our women. Astaghfirullah, they go to amils, the women, and the actions that take place. You cannot ask what happens. You cannot imagine. So do you understand what I'm saying? This is our deen. So wadhkurullah dhikran kathira. Our salah is elevated. No, not without dhikr. So do you understand the importance of dhikr? Will we do dhikr? Inshallah. And you'll ask how. Now I'll tell you how the dhikr will not be accepted.
Every ibadah which will be accepted, there's a condition. There's a condition. Every ibadah. And that ibadah will be weighed on that condition. What is that condition? Ikhlas. Mukhlaseen lahuddin. Aha. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned ikhlas. That this is the basis in the hereafter when there will be sari'ul hisab. Accounts will be taking place. Come with your iman and amal, Allah says. But I have no care. Bring your salah. Bring your tahajjud. Bring all of these things. Allah says, I'm happy. But the basis of success criteria for judging the actions, mukhlaseen lahuddin. That they should be sincerely and purely for who? The sake of Allah. Not one hair's width of shirk or association with any other intention should be in your deeds. Any action of the deen, my friends. Any work of the deen. Any action of the deen. Any amal of the deen. Not one footstep of yours should be taken for the sake of the deen. Don't bring dunya into that, my friends. If you want success, don't let dunya come close. Don't even imagine. Don't even imagine. That is fire. That is fire. And you are playing with fire. Those are playing with fire who, for the sake of dunya, they change their ways and their appearance and their style, and they don't know that in the grave what will become the conclusion of that person. That one word, if you're teaching somebody the work of the deen, don't consider that in compensation for this I need to be paid something. No, that will do the work of the dunya at the same time in parallel. No, that deed will be evaporated. So who has got this ikhlas? Where does this come from? Where should it come from? The Quran tells us. If you want ikhlas, there's only one action. What is that? Dhikran kathir. This will result in ikhlas. First reward of doing dhikran kathir is that a person becomes mukhlis, sincere. Shirk comes out of his life. And he becomes so soft and tender-hearted, his heart, the reaction he does, his first niyyah will be that I'm doing for the sake of Allah. And he will never feel that, oh, I'm doing some other action, or I'm doing it for some other reason. Allah's put the cure that in everything, there's a cleaning agent, and the cleaning agent for the heart, for sakin of the heart, you have to do dhikran kathira. So dhikr of Allah makes a person kathir. His deeds are accepted. And examples are present in front of us. One is that person who doesn't do dhikr. There are those who don't do dhikr. Look at their ibadah. And those who do dhikran kathira, look at their ibadah. Look at their crying in front of the Kaaba. Look at their drinking zamzam. Look at their sa'i, safa marwa, swab Allah. Look at their tawaf. Look at their sujood. Look at their sajood, sajda, look at their du'as, look at their crying on their du'as. Their qulub, their hearts have made due to them doing dhikr of Allah. So will we do dhikr? Solid promise? True promise you want to learn? And if you want to learn, then put your hands up. MashaAllah. Okay, now I'll teach you dhikran kathira, abundance of dhikr. That the walis of Allah, the Quran, hadith, this has taught us the tariqah. This is not a new tariqah that I'm explaining to you. I'm not telling you a new methodology. You know what the tariqah is. This is not new. This is established from the ways of our pious predecessors and the silsala that continues, the dhikr and kathira that our pious predecessors have taught. So here, now look here. The very simple way of doing this dhikr, very simple, is that Allah Ta'ala, when He gives something in high magnitude, which is very powerful, then Allah makes it easy. You have no need for anything else. You can just rest and relax. What is the tariqah? That you have to do this dhikr in your heart. How do we do this dhikr? From the heart. That's it. End of story. Very simple. Big action. And we don't even know that you can do dhikr in the heart. We know from our mouth we eat chickens and cakes, drink water. And from our hands we have to do this job, and with our feet or fill the stomach. Have we ever thought about the heart? Why Allah Ta'ala has made the heart? الَّذِينَ تَتْمَعِنَ قُلُوبِنَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَعِنُ الْقُلُوبِ. So how much do we emphasize on this? This, so if I start to do tafsir, that's something else. So we have the heart that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So we need to control the heart. The heart controls all our actions. Whatever our hands do, our heart controls. If the heart is dirty, the hands will do dirty actions. If the heart is a bandit, then your hands will do actions of a bandit. If your heart is full of lust and passion, you will go towards lust. If your heart is full of nur and light, you will do sujood, prostration. You will do tilawat, recitation. This is all based on the heart condition. So we need to enlighten our hearts. How? Very simple method, my friends. To enlighten the heart, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, he did the same dhikr, Hazrat Ali did the same dhikr, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu did the same dhikr, 124,000, however many companions, they all did this dhikr, Fajr after Fajr, they did maraqabah, they did dhikr, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat and did dhikr, this is called maraqabah, dhikr of the heart, dhikr khafi, silent dhikr, and Hazrat Mulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah has written on this, defined this, and characterized this, dhikr and kathir,
And it's brilliant. We're doing subhanallah, the tasbih. Now if you do dhikr in the heart, it'll be 70 times more magnitude, greater and more reward. However easy it is, the more reward. Because Allah says there's a lot of benefit in this. So what do we need to do? We need to do this. That sit down with ease, close your eyes, concentrate on your heart. Because you haven't got friendship with the heart at the moment, so you have to give it time. 1 week, 2 weeks, you'll have friendship with the heart. Because we've left the heart, we haven't conditioned it. So we need to condition the heart. Close your eyes, sit with ease, relax. Close your eyes, focus on the heart. And the heart, which is here, yes, on the left side here. Okay, so you close your eyes, concentrate, focus, totally focus on the heart. Don't move the tongue. And you don't need to say anything, you don't need to utter anything. With every beat of the heart, in the heart, we have to say, Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. That's it. The tongue doesn't need to move, nor do we need to say anything. All we need to do is what? In the heart, we just need to imagine that I am remembering Allah. And that's it. And you'll feel so much enjoyment and fulfillment, and you'll be so enhanced in maraqba that wherever you're going, walking, talking, sitting, your heart will be doing dhikr. This is making the heart alive. You're sleeping, your heart will do dhikr. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. This is the dhikr of Allah. Who can do dhikr standing, sitting, lying down? Allah says you can do dhikr when you're sleeping if you condition your heart. Make it regular. Allahu Akbar. Salah. You come to Salah, you're sitting, there's 2 minutes left. In 2 minutes, Alhamdulillah, 70,000 times your heart will do dhikr. You don't need to look left and right. Close your eyes, focus. Concentrate. Concentrate. Your friends are sitting, talking. And then you just focus on your heart. And then you'll be so habitual, you won't need to close your eyes. You just have to think towards your heart. Tak, 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 tak. Beating. Wallahi, I tell you. Remembering Allah. People are backbiting, speaking nonsense, stupid talk. You close your eyes and you do shukr. You're grateful to Allah and you do dhikr in the heart. So you are mubaligh. You are a speaker. You're going to ta'aleem. And you're going to tabligh. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran to His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the tariqah? MashaAllah, what's the method? Today you're going to give a speak or a durs, durus, and recite hadith, Jummah talk. 5 minutes, do maraqabah before that, prior to the Allah, 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 Allah. And this way, ikhlas will come, sincerity will come, honest speech will come out, and all of the words will come out with nur and light. Tabliq, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr will give you great help and assistance, a lot of help, lot of strong help in your tabliq and your talim. The reason for me speaking is that I want to deliver these words to the brothers. If I say, oh, I'm this, I'm a shaykh, come to me, praise me. No, there's no requirement of this. Then I'll be the loser. I'll be asked from Allah. So if I come, I do maraqabah. Allah, I'm going for your sake. Please keep me strong on this line. Don't let me go left and right. And when you do maraqabah dhikr in your heart, then your heart will be nur ala nur, full of light, and Allah will give you the results and the benefit. So your salah will be accepted, our hajj will be accepted, every action will be accepted along with the dhikr of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? How should we do dhikr? Yeah, so here's a tasbih, the rosary bead, and you can get the tasbih with the fat beads, big beads, and this will also assist you a lot. So before you do maraqabah, silent dhikr in your heart, if you do dhikr with the beads for a little while, then this will make a very quick impact on your heart. What's the tariqah, the method? That take the tasbih like this, and you hold it like this, you have the bead, the first bead, and you pick it up, you tap it down, take the second bead, tap it down, take the next one, beat it down, and your hands will go like this, slowly, slowly, because it's not easy. And then after that, you'll make a rhythm, like this, where you'll do the tasbih. But because this tasbih is small, you can get tasbih with the bigger beads, no? Okay, so it's like this. Yeah, this hadith is better. This tasbih is better, mashallah. This is a proper tasbih. We have this. And see how the effect, the noise that comes, yeah? So close your eyes, you're silent, focused, and you are doing tasbih. First you have to practice. One, pick up, down, pick up, down, pick up, down. Then you're doing the tasbih. And when you hear the noise, the beating of the beads together, then a nur will come in your heart, Allah's name. Then you will set an amount. Before you do maraqabah, do 20 tasbihs. I'll do 20 tasbihs first. Start from 20, then 50. Alhamdulillah, the friends of Allah, they do thousands of tasbihs in the day, alhamdulillah. So do the tasbih like this. And you will have a feeling, Allah, Allah, Allah. Then stop doing the tasbih, then do maraqabah silent. They can focus on the heart, with each beat of the heart. Morning and evening, make this a routine. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran katheera. Allah says, do dhikr morning and evening. Bukratan wa asila.
Allah says, do madhikr kathir and do this bukrata wa asira. Do it morning and evening, maraqaba. So maraqaba, half an hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Fix this, allot the time. Do it regularly, consistently. And don't miss. Don't miss. Another thing, I'm not enjoying myself. I've got thoughts, waswasa, whispering of shaitan. No difference is made from in the dhikr of Allah from this. You'll get the full reward. Let waswasa come, whispering of shaitan, thoughts. I'll give you an example. You eat food, you eat pilau rice, you eat the sweet rice. Where's it going? Inside your stomach. It's going, isn't it? Don't you think about other things while you're eating? Of course you do. This happened, that happened, he said this, that happened, I had to go there. You got thoughts in your mind, but you're still eating food. The food's going in your stomach. It's benefiting you. Of course, vitamins and nutrients, and the food is being digested. So this is the name of Allah. You can think of other things. Even if thoughts are coming, you're still doing the dhikr. Hazrat Thanvi said, rahmatullahi, no difference is made. Rather, you get more reward due to the effort you're making. Because mashallah, he had the knowledge. He said, you'll get more thawab. Be happy. Let the thoughts come. Do more dhikr. And shaitan will run away. Oh, he's getting thawab. So don't leave this action, because without this, there's no success, my friends. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Now, we will, for a little while, because time is not much left, so we'll do maraqba. What time is it? 10 past? 6:08, okay. So, alhamdulillah, we have 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes. We'll do some dhikr, we'll remember Allah. So recite Durood Sharif, everybody.